Well, what you'll find in there, the bulk of the scans that are there are about Dynamite Boogaloo, which is the club I ran in Brighton for 17 years between 1992 and 2009. And there's different scans from different eras, basically, which represent the changes that the club went through. We were in lots of different venues in Brighton. None of them were gay venues, but the night itself was very polysexual, I would say. It attracted all kinds of people. There were no sort of rules about who we let in or anything like that. There was no door policy. And the clips you'll see are reviews of the club, photographs of the clubbers, photographs of me, magazine covers, things like that. And just it just kind of gives you an overview of the fun we had in that era, really, and the different music that we were playing and the cabaret and all the different aspects that made Dynamite Boogaloo really unique in a lot of ways. Then elsewhere in amongst the scans, you might chance upon a review or two of my records that I was releasing then. I was an aspiring pop star in the early noughties, and I ended up releasing three albums, and the first album, The Glambassador, came out in 2004, and around that time I didn't set out to achieve lots and lots of press or lots of coverage, but lots of magazines actually ran features and ran reviews of the album, kind of to my surprise, because I was doing it all myself. I was just putting CDs into jiffy bags and sending them to magazines and to radio stations and what have you. So I ended up with quite a lot of reviews and little features and articles. So there's a couple in there and amongst the other stuff. There was even a little bit in The Sun, the newspaper, the disgusting newspaper. and I didn't intend to end up in The Sun. But we had, by that point, I had a press agent working for me who was just a horrible hack. And that's actually the only press he got me, was in The Sun. The rest of the press I got myself in more reputable publications. So that was The Glambassador in 2004. And as I say, I released two other albums. And there's mentions of those, I think, elsewhere in the articles that you might read. It just gives you an overview of what I was doing at that time with my career, the different sort of paths I find myself on, doing cabaret, doing theatre work, making music, as well as DJing and showing off. So in the early 90s, I also was making knitwear. I went to Brighton Polytechnic, as it was then. It's Brighton University now. It's a polytechnic in my day. And I did a knitwear degree. And when I left college, I kind of knew that I didn't want to be a knitwear designer per se. I kind of knew I was already gravitating towards the world of showbiz. But to make ends meet, I was doing lots of different things. And one of the things that I was doing was making knitwear. And there was a shop in London called Sign of the Times who were championing new designers, up-and-coming designers. And I just took some sample garments into them. And Fiona, who ran the shop, was like, oh, yeah, we'll definitely sell these, you know. So it was all on sale or return. I just started supplying them with these little mohair cardigans and jumpers. And it ended up Bjork bought three of them. You know, I didn't have to give these people free stuff. I think nowadays it's the done thing just to give famous people your clothes and they wear them on Instagram and you supposedly sell lots of them or whatever. But back then I made the clothes, people bought them. And as I say, Bjork bought three and she wore them everywhere. She wore them on magazine covers. She wore them to the Brits. She wore them in her videos, all that kind of stuff. And it took me totally by surprise. And as a result, I was selling lots in Sign of the Times. And Sign of the Times also got me all the press for that around that time. They had my clothes on cover of Sky magazine, editorial in Elle magazine, what other, Sky, oh God, ID, And best of all, actually, Italian Vogue. And the photographs that were in Italian Vogue were actually taken by Karl Lagerfeld. So there was this kind of, it was quite bizarre because it was quite sort of, I was detached from it. I was just in my room in my flat in Hampstead making these cardigans, taking them to the shop. And then the shop were kind of creating all this glamour around the whole thing. But I was very detached from it. I wasn't being invited to photo shoots or fashion parties or anything like that. And I actually got really bored of doing it and just kind of stopped. It was really hard in those days to get any backing in this country to get decent manufacturing, particularly for the designs that I was making. They're quite tricky, you know, quite tricky materials to use, quite tricky machines. Producing kind of chunky brushed mohair knitwear was just something that couldn't be factory done. So I just stopped doing it. Nothing happened to stop me doing it other than I was just a little bit bored of making them. And it felt like a bit of a treadmill. And I was having more fun being out in nightclubs, DJing and showing off and doing cabaret shows and stuff like that. So that became more how I made my living. And in terms of using design as a means to an end, I was making all my stage costumes. So that skill, I suppose, didn't go to waste. I've still kind of used it as a, you know, something that I still do now. I still make my stage costumes. So the skills that I got at college haven't just been totally pissed up the wall.